Well, hey, great to see you again. Man, what a privilege it is to be together. What a total privilege it is to be together. We're kicking off a series tonight called San Marcos as It Is in Heaven. And this really is the cry of this church. While we would say, hey, we exist to multiply disciples of Jesus who are reaching the campus, the city, and the world, our big picture dream is that we want to see this city look like heaven. And so how we do that, I just want to briefly talk about kind of the why and the how. Why do we do this? Why do we gather as a large group like this? Why do we do house churches throughout the week? Why are we giving our lives to this task of multiplying disciples? Because we've become convinced that our greatest joy is found in a person named Jesus. That the home that we're all really longing for is found in him. And that the more people that we help find a home in Jesus, the more that this city will look like heaven. And so we will gather and we will give our lives to the task of multiplying disciples, not just on Sundays, but every hour of our lives, so that we might see this city look more and more and more like heaven. And our hope is that goes not just to San Marcos, but to the very ends of the earth. The how we do that, not just by, really, how do we multiply disciples? We do that through meaningful relationship. And so, I hate to pop your bubble, but if you came here and you're looking for like the coolest church in town, I know of other cool churches. We have cool things, but I kind of say, like, unless God shows up to this, it's really lame. Like, we don't really have much. That unless the Spirit of God moves in our hearts, we have nothing in this church to offer you. That unless God shows up, then we're wasting our time. But meaningful relationship with one another is how we desire to practice church. And so, if this is your first time, we're thrilled you're here. And if you want to get connected, probably the easiest way I know how outside of meaningful relationship would be to text the well, one word, just text the well to 94,000. I think that's it. Text 94,000. Someone just shout out and correct me if that's wrong. Text the well, one word, to 95,000. But really, how we hope to practice church is through meaningful relationship. And so we really sincerely would love to get to know you and have a meaningful relationship with you. We do that primarily through house churches that meet throughout the week. And so if you'd like to hear more about those, there's a Get Connected little QR code that you can put your phone up and it'll do magic things. What we're going to do week after week after week is we're going to proclaim the word of God. We live in a day and age that says, hey, you live your truth, you do you. And we don't do that. We don't do really either of those. We want to do what God says to do because we believe he is truth. He is a source of truth and his word is truth. We don't really believe that you as a individual have suddenly figured out all the truths of the world. As much as you're awesome, you probably haven't done that. Jesus did because he's God. And so week after week, we're going to come to the word of God so that we might see Jesus rightly for who he is, so that we might worship him more fully as his people. And so week after week, we will come to the word. That's just a little bit of the why and the how. But now, as said, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to John chapter 4. Tonight really informs a lot of what we're hoping to see take place in this church called the well. John chapter 4, we find the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And this is a text that largely informs a lot of why we planted this church, but also how we hope to see God change this city. So John chapter 4, I'm going to pray for us and then we'll jump in. Gracious God, we declare that your word is true. Your word says in Hebrews of itself that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide marrow from itself. God, that you can do something in our hearts that only you can through your word and your spirit. God, your word says in 2 Timothy that your word inspired by you is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, and for training in righteousness. And so, God, tonight we ask that you might do all of that in us through your word. And so, God, would you give us ears to hear what you might want to say to us through your word and through your spirit? Would you give us attentiveness tonight to your word? God, I pray that for myself. Lord, for the parts of my life that do not align to the truths from your word this evening, God, would you sanctify me? Would you challenge me in this? And God, I pray ultimately that you might be glorified through the preaching of your word and through the gathering of your people, that we might be more like your son Jesus when we leave here tonight. So God, we love you, we trust you, and we submit this time to you. In the name of the son Jesus, we pray. Amen. I don't know what your life was like, but how many of y'all grew up having recess? Anyone grew up having recess? They didn't do that? Were you homeschooled? Man. That means like recess was like 75% of your activities, right? Just like chilling all day, every day. Okay, well, I don't know what your recess experience was like, but anyone have like sports teams that would form during recess, and you'd have some team captains, and then the dreaded like picking team moment. Anyone have this moment on the playground? Okay, and I know there's some stud athletes in the room. I'm certainly not among them. I was like, when can we audition for the band? And then I gave my life to that, and it was super awesome, but never much of an athlete. And so I want you to have the picture on the playground at recess of team captains, and they're probably like the studliest in fourth grade, you know, those fourth grader super studs. They'd be like, what grade is Gatlin in now? Sixth grade. I bet Gatlin, he's super fast and way athletic, and he'd be like a team captain. So you got two team captains, and they're like the coolest people in the world. And then you've got everyone else lined up, like single line, and now it's time to pick teams. And I don't know about you, but I didn't like this moment because in fourth grade, I didn't have a lot going on. I mean, my wife might argue, but I don't think I got a lot going on, even today. And so picking teams comes up, and they pick that studly person, and they pick that agile person, and all the people who have the skills and have the ability and have the agility are getting picked one after the other. And I'm starting to look down the row going, uh-oh, there's slim pickings here, and I'm not slim. And we're trying to play football here, and I'd much rather just hold a saxophone. But I want to fit in, and so I might be better than that person. You know, they broke their hand last week, and but I remember being last pick for the team. Oh man, that was a crummy feeling. That was a crummy feeling. Well, I hope you moved on from recess without too much emotional wounding, and if you didn't, we'd love to talk to you about that and connect you to some resources. But I want to play this same premise out throughout the rest of our lives. Then you get to college. And some of your friends, they got these awesome relationships that are happening. They got their friend group, and you wish you could be a part of that friend group, or they got their boo thing, and you wish you could have some boo thing. But it ain't happening for you. Nobody's picking you. The friends didn't pick you. The boo thing didn't pick you. You never get asked out. You never, whatever it was, you just can't seem to get picked. Your Instagram following has hit a lid and doesn't seem to go up any longer. No one wants to snap you any longer. What's the deal? You don't get picked. Is that what they say? Is that not what they say? Uh-oh. Too old. Too old. And you don't get picked. And fast forward, and then you're applying for jobs. And you apply for job after job after job, and you don't get picked. And whatever that is, whatever the next pick me moment is, all of us have a longing to be picked. All of us have a longing to be seen as worthy of being on the team. All of us have that. Whether that was as a little kid at recess or a grown person who is isolated and lonely in their room. That when they go home at night, they cry because they said, if someone just saw me, I'd have everything I could want. If someone just thought that I was worthy of being on their team, I'd be good. I'm convinced in each and every one of us, we have that longing deep within us, that we have a longing to be seen and to be picked. And tonight, I have really, really good news that there is a God who goes ridiculously out of his way to say, I see you and I want you on my team. John chapter 4, we're going to look at the story of the woman at the well. We're going to really talk through it through the lens of this recess scene. And so what we've got now is before team captains and the line has been made, let's set the table of what's going on in Samaria here. So now when Jesus, this is verse 1 of chapter 4. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples. He left Judea and departed again for Galilee. So kind of southern Israel, about to head up to northern Israel. Now, verse 4 is a big deal. And he had to pass through Samaria. Now, this is Jesus we're talking about on his little journey here. And it just said he had to pass through Samaria. But it was well known in that day that Jews and Samaritans weren't BFFs. They didn't hang out a bunch. And so Jewish people, if they were going from Judea to Galilee, they would actually go around Samaria inconveniently to get to Galilee. It would be like, I don't want to hit Austin traffic, so I'm going to take the toll road, except it costs a lot more than the toll road to get all the way to Round Rock. Like, I ain't doing Austin traffic. Man, like, I ain't doing that. But this wasn't a traffic issue. This was kind of a racial, ethnic bias issue. And so it'd be like, I'm going to drive around that neighborhood because I don't really want to see those people. But for Jesus, verse 4, he had to pass through Samaria. Listen to that. Remember that. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob, that's Jewish history, we'll talk more about that another time, had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. And it was about the sixth hour. That's noon in common English language. So Jesus, this is a big deal, felt what we feel because he's fully human. He's wore out from his journey. So he's like, man, I need a drink. Hey, a well. And I wonder if Jesus, because he's also fully God, went like, man, I remember when I was with the Father and we were watching Jacob dig it. That's kind of crazy. He's like, oh, that's what it looks like down here from this angle. That's kind of cute. At the sixth hour at noon, he comes up to the well, wearied from his journey. And now here's the striking thing, verse 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Now, how many of y'all are from Texas? Man, praise God for you guys. Praise God. You automatically welcome next week. For all you other people, we want to talk to you about what the gospel is and why we think Jesus is the best news. But man, I just believe Texas is the promised land. We don't need to dive theologically into that, but man, okay. So if you grew up in Texas, you know that in August, it gets super hot. I mean, it gets pretty hot in July, but those first kind of 20 days, like right when school starts back and you're about to walk 3 miles on campus, it gets really hot in the fall. Now, I don't know about you. Some of y'all might be crazy folk, but I'm not going on a run. Really, I don't do that too often anyway, but I'm not particularly going on a run at 2 p.m. in August. You know those people? Man, you're like, what? Are you just flexing on me? Like, who goes on a run at 2 p.m. in Texas? Nobody does that. Except for people who don't want to run with all the other people at the normal hours in the morning. This woman from Samaria came to draw water at noon. Now, Samaria is not like some type of tropical oasis where it's just like California and cool and beautiful all the time. This woman was hiding. All the other people would have gone to the well in the morning in the cool of the day before it got hot so they could get their water before it got scorching hot outside. But this lady, she's going at noon. What's the deal here? Go back to the recess scene. I want to introduce to you the team captain. We'll call him Jesus, the Son of God. And then I want to introduce to you the picked last kind of person. But where's she at? She sneaks up to watch the game after everyone's already been picked because she's so convinced that she's unworthy that she ain't even gonna line up with everybody else. She's over here like, man, I just don't even try anymore. I've been picked last so many times, I ain't even gonna line up. And I wonder how many of us are dying for someone to see us, but we're over it, so we're done even trying. And maybe that's not just with people, like maybe you gave up on people a while ago, but maybe also you gave up on God. You said, you know what, God, you don't seem to see me, so I'm gonna quit showing up. I'm just gonna hide. I'm gonna dodge all these religious people and all these religious things. Like, I've been picked last so many times, I'm not even showing up. And I would imagine, with this many folks here tonight, some of y'all here for the first time reconnecting with Jesus in a hot minute. I'm just going on a limb here based on previous conversations I've had. Starting a new church. And I just wonder for you what you've been hiding from. And maybe you got convinced that God no longer saw you. And now I want you to hear this. At the 12th hour, the Son of God, who had to go to Samaria, sat himself down at a well. And I'm just going to assume, because of theological conviction, that Jesus knew someone else was coming. Someone else that he wanted to talk to about a team that he was building. Someone who was trying to dodge the whole team thing altogether. I want you to hear this. The Son of God will spare no length to chase you down. The Son of God will spare no length to chase you down. I don't care how good you are at running, you can't outrun God. I don't care how good you are at hiding, you can't hide from God. And I'm convinced for each and every one of you tonight, you're here in part because he's chasing you down. Even if you're like, Chris, I already know Jesus, I don't care. One of the greatest truths in my life is that God is always chasing me down. I've been following him for a while. But I'll tell you what, he chased me down this morning at 8 o'clock on a prayer call. Because I woke up hot. I was angry and frustrated because I got a baby who likes to cry in the morning and y'all pray for her, but I just woke up hot. And I was like, man, I don't want to go to that prayer call. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be heard. I want to hide. But I know somebody, amen? I know somebody who will spare no length to chase me down. And if you're here and you don't know him, keep listening. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, so now we have the first chat between the team captain and the gal who's trying to dodge the team. Give me a drink, Jesus says to her, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Here's where we find out. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This is an ethnic thing. This is a racial thing. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And this woman's going, man, this is the last time I'm showing up to the well at noon. This guy's crazy. What is he talking about? And we find out she doesn't know what he's talking about. Verse 11. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and this well is deep. So where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. She's still missing it. But let's talk for a moment about what Jesus is talking about. I don't know if you've experienced this. My wife and I and our family, we moved to San Marcos in January of 2020. What an exciting year. We have now a 4-year-old son and a 1.5-year-old daughter. They're awesome, Caleb and Ella. And we were looking for things to do in San Marcos. We want to experience the city. We want to see what the vibes are like. And we hear about this glass bottom boat tour. Anybody been on the glass bottom boat tour? Some of y'all need to get out. You got to go see it. I think it's open. COVID didn't stop that. Go get on that boat because it's awesome. So it's a boat and it's got this glass bottom. I'm real smart. And we get on the boat and then you get to see the water is crystal clear. You can see all the way to the ground floor of the Edwards Aquifer, kind of the head spring of the San Marcos River. It's gorgeous. All sorts of types of fish and turtles. But the kind of big moment of the tour, sorry to spoil it for you, but you haven't been yet, so that's your fault. You're going to go all the way up to kind of the top, right by the free aquarium. Thanks, San Marcos. That's also awesome. It's kind of a modest aquarium, but it's free. So, yeah, it's like a dollar menu. You know, you shouldn't expect that much. So you go up to the top, and the guy goes, hey, you see all that, like, white sand and bubbles down there? That's where the water comes up out of the ground. And it's been doing that for a really, 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 really long time. You see, he points to it again. You see the water down there coming up out of the ground? There's several spots where you can see the bubbles and the white sand because that water's coming up out of rocks from underneath the earth, a wellspring, if you will. He says that water provides drinkable water for over 2 million Texans. God bless this state. I mean, that's right. You got that in Ohio? I don't think so. They probably do, but don't worry about it. It's probably bigger in Texas. And so there is a source of water in this city that has not run dry for a super long time. And they start telling the history of, man, there was a Indian group that used to gather around here to drink this water, and generation after generation after generation has gathered around this river to drink fresh water, and it never runs out. So what's that got to do with Jesus? Y'all are smart people. Put two and two together. You and I have a thirst. One of those thirsts is a thirst to be seen, a thirst to be known, a thirst to be picked, a thirst to be called worthy, a thirst to be a son or a daughter. And Jesus says, hey, I have something that can actually quench your thirst. It's called a relationship with me. That if you knew who asked you, you hear the relational language there. It's not just if you did all the right things, if you just attended church enough, if you just checked all your religious boxes, then you could have this water. No, if you knew who is asking you, hear the invitation into relationship. Would you know me? Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That there is a source that provides all the needs for our thirst that we've ever imagined and ever will need. And that source has a name named Jesus. And there's this invitation into relationship. But let's keep going. It starts to get a little crazy. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Because in verse 15, we saw she's still not really getting it. Hey, give me this water so I don't have to be thirsty and come here to draw this water. And Jesus is like, man, I'm not talking about this water. So let's get to the real stuff here. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. I love this part. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands. And the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Now, let me pause for 1 second and make a brief little cultural disclaimer. I would love to spend a long time with each of you talking about how to read and study the Bible. That's like a little side passion of mine. Actually, that's kind of like a part of what I do. It would be easy to read this text in a cultural lens that has some preconceived about ideas about women or culture and go, what Jesus just said is, girl, you up. I know you ain't got one husband. Girl, you had five of them. It'd be easy to kind of read that into the text and just insert pre-cultural conceived ideas into the text. But I want to offer just a brief option. I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just saying it is an option here that women were incredibly marginalized in this day and age, commonly treated as property. And so it very well could have been that husband number one was displeased with her and threw her away, not picked. Picked up. Not picked. Picked up, but not picked. Picked up, not picked. Picked up, and not picked. Hey, let us be very slow to put name tags on people. And don't you dare forget who made that person. Yeah, I'll stop there. It's an option. It could actually inform us why she's going to the well at noon and not early in the morning with the rest of the gals. Because her rep hasn't been holding up in Sychar. That's the girl with five husbands who's actually not with her husband now. Side note number one. Let's be really slow to put labels on people. Side note number two, and this one's really fun. I don't care how good you are at hiding, Jesus already knows all your stuff. I don't care how good you are at hiding, Jesus already knows all your stuff. I don't know about you, that makes me a little freaked out. I might be up here with the microphone and the Bible, but let me tell you, I am really good at sinning. I'm like, I'd consider myself semi-professional. I've been doing it for 30 years. Really good. My dad drove up to surprise us tonight. That's a lot of fun. You could ask my daddy. He could tell you about some of the spankings I got as a kid. He'd say, yep, my son's good at sinning. I tried to beat it out of him, but to no avail. So why would you and I think that we can hide our stuff from the sovereign God of the universe who in one word spoke galaxies into existence? So I don't know where you're at or what you're doing with your life, but if you're trying to hide from God, that is kind of like my four-year-old trying to hide in his bedroom from his daddy while going, Daddy, Daddy. Son, we're playing hide and seek. Daddy. Did you find me? Yes, I found you, son. I also heard your big, loud steps all the way into the bedroom. And then the door closed, and then the other closet closed. It ain't hard to find you, because I'm your dad. I know where my son hides. And you're going to think, because of your sin, that you suddenly outsmarted the sovereign God and can hide your stuff from him? Are you crazy? Did you forget who made you? You can't hide from God. I don't care how smart you are. You can't hide from God. Jesus walks up to the well at noon to hide the gal who doesn't want to be on the team and says, hey, sister, I know you've been hiding, but let me tell you who you have never hid from. His name's Jesus. It's about to get awesome. One of my favorite moments in the Bible. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. I'd imagine she's kind of shook up now. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. She's now going, hey, you're a Jew and a prophet. Let's talk religious talk. Maybe we can dodge this like you want me on your team chat here. A little smoke screen. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, hear the invitation into relationship. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. It's religious and Jewish history. Again, I'd love to talk about it, but ain't got time tonight. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Hear this. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Now let us pause before the mic drop moment. Samaritan woman, who we don't know her name, that's a fun fact. Can I side note on that real quick? I'm convinced in part we don't know her name because John's trying to remind us who the Bible's really about. You know whose name we do find out in this story? Again, is Jesus. So if you're going to try and orient your following of Jesus about you and your privileges and your preferences and your rights and all those things, let me just remind you, hey, Jesus is making himself known to people who are never named in the scripture. He does that a lot. This ain't about you. This ain't about me. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, who is called the Christ. Now, that word is packed with Jewish thought. That there was a people of Jews, God's people. And we don't have time to chase the whole story, but Father Abraham had many sons and daughters, and many sons and daughters had Father Abraham. A whole bunch of them, they became God's people, the Jewish people. Those people, God took care of them, but then they kind of had some stiff neck problems and got into slavery for a really long time. God delivered them from Moses, and then they went into the wilderness for a really long time. And then they almost got the promised land, kind of got it, then they lost it. And then there is prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of Messiah, the one who is called the Christ, who will come and rescue us. But the Messiah, not just this political deliverer like they thought, but one who will give living water, the one like the blood spread over their doors in slavery made a way for them to be delivered from their sins. Messiah, the Christ. That if you have relationship with him, you can have living water. She knows who Messiah is. And when he comes, when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Look out now. Jesus goes, hey, I'm that guy. Messiah, Christ, hey, good to meet you. That's me. And here's what's baffling. Verse 23. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. I don't know where you're hiding. And I don't know what you're hiding from. But if we could treat this today as a little bit of a well that you showed up to. And maybe you say, maybe today I'm going to try not to hide. Jesus shows up to the same well that the woman's trying to hide out at. Why? Because the team captain knows who he wants on his team. Even if she never wanted to be on the team in the first place. She knew she wanted a team. She knew she wanted some type of belonging. But what is all this? I'll just wait for Messiah. And I'm going to go to the well at noon so I don't have to see anybody. I don't have to talk to anybody. I can just do my thing. And Messiah shows up at the well to make himself known to her. Why? Because the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Here's good news for you tonight. If you've been looking for a team, the Father is seeking such people to worship him. I don't care what you've done before you walked into this room tonight. You could have killed somebody. We need to talk about that. Maybe it was attached to not being picked at recess, but we could talk. But I don't care what you've done. I came from Sam Houston State University. I befriended some, I heard there's some frat dudes in the house tonight. Are there? Is that true? Was that a rumor? Anyone in a fraternity in here? Wow, bunch of liars. who told me that? Oh, really? All right. Well, let's pray next week. They'll all be here. That means it's safe. I'm not judging frat boys. But at Sam, I am, okay? So I came from Sam Houston State, and there was a thing in the frat world at Sam. I'm sure they don't do that here because I heard Stumo's here. Is Stumo here tonight? Yeah, okay, we got some Stumo fig. So, like, give it 6 months. Stumo people, man, they know how to make Jesus known. So, like, 6 months, every fat boy, frat, not fat boy. Sorry, just stuck there, my own people. Every frat boy gonna know Jesus, okay? So give it a minute. Thrilled y'all are here. We love and cheerlead for Stumo. I've got friends and, man, praise God. But at Sam, they have a thing called a body count. You know what a body count is in frat world? That's how many girls you've slept with. I met a dude one time, tried to boast to me before he knew I was a college pastor. I said, bro, I'm at 82. He said that when I got a 1.5-year-old daughter, me and homie would have met Jesus a lot sooner than he wanted to. I don't care if you're walking in here with an 82 body count. Jesus walking up on you tonight, saying the Father is seeking such people to worship him. There is no length that the Son of God will not go to chase you down. It doesn't matter what you've done. That the woman walks up to the well, she's with a man that ain't her husband, and the five before, it doesn't matter what's in your closet. When Jesus walks up to you and says, hey, I'm the Messiah, and I'm seeking with my Father worshipers. And today, I'm seeking you. I don't know what kind of team you're looking for, but I want a team captain like that. I want a team captain that says, hey, I'm going to try and pick every single kid on the playground. Because I remember watching my Father make them. And I'm crazy about every single one of them. That there is not a person that the Father formed in their mother's womb that is not completely worthy of life. That is not completely worthy of being known and loved and cared for and flourishing in this world. That there is not a person, there is not a sin that can discredit you from being used by God on his team. This is why Christian folk fight for life, just as a side note. I don't get political often, but this is kind of a headliner right now. And if you want to know why Christian folks fight for life, it's because the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And when God makes a life, he means it. It's not an accident. Doesn't matter what happens. That God is seeking such people to worship him. I am convinced that God is seeking you to worship him. That is the team that you've actually always been longing to be on. That's what we were made for, to be worshipers. Okay, what happens when you get on the team? Just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Hey, just another side note here. If you decide to hang out with us long, you'll find out our church, just like any other church you've been a part of. If you've never been a part of a church, we're like super glad you're here, but we'll find out. You'll find out that we're just like these folks. We're kind of messed up too. Okay. So these are the disciples, like the guys who are supposed to know Messiah, following him. They walk up on the Messiah doing his thing, and they're like, why is he talking to a woman from Samaria? Bunch of racist disciples, get it together. I'm trying to, like, do what my Father sent me to do here. Would you join me and quit fussing about it? Man, you hang out here long enough, you'll find out, hey, we're some messed up disciples. That's why we got Jesus. We're going to keep coming back to him over and over and over. The disciples walk up. And so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, that's a fun side note, John. Left her water jar. She came for water, and she left her jar. someone found Messiah. Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. We're going to bypass verses 31 through 38 because we got dinner plans after this, and this ain't a Bible study. We're preaching the word. I'd love to talk about it. It's a lot of good stuff. Just know that Jesus is in charge of the harvest. He's doing awesome things. Verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. I wouldn't say I'm typically not a side note guy, but I totally am. Can we just pause for a second and say, hey, again, I don't know what kind of tradition you came from. I came from a tradition that can be a little harder on women and like what they get to do in ministry. And I just want to tell you that the Son of God willingly sent a woman to go declare the good news to an entire town of people. I had a professor who actually said, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to the first church planter in the New Testament. She's called the Samaritan woman. The one that had five husbands. That's who God used. Why? Because there is a biblical theme being unfolded here that God flexes with the weak. God flexes with those who are perceptually marginalized and says, hey, that's my kid. Let me show you what I can do with my kid. That's what he does. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. I think what I want you to hear most loudly tonight is the Father is seeking such people to worship him. But if you're here tonight and you already know that, and you're like, man, I'm on Jesus's team, here's what you need to hear. Here's what being on the team looks like. It looks like trying to get as many people as you possibly can to get on the team with you because you now know the team captain. So the Samaritan woman, who's been hiding her life, is now the messenger of good news to an entire city. Hear that reversal. Sneaking out at noon to go get water so she doesn't have to see anyone. And then she meets Messiah. Then she joins the team. And she declares, I just met a man who's told me everything I've ever done. Can this be the Christ? And the conclusion of the story is that many more believed because of Jesus's word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. The best thing you can do as a teammate with Jesus is bring people to Jesus. Let me be very clear. This is not Jesus. This is his body. Gathered corporately. We wouldn't even say this is church. This is a part of church. God's people filled with his spirit, redeemed by his blood, that's the church. But this is a gathering. It's choir practice. The best thing you and I can do is bring someone to meet the team captain. So if you're here and you're like, man, I'd love to be a part of this team. I want to be a part of the Well. This seems like a super cool team to be a part of. Let me tell you, people come up, especially people who have like grown up in church, and they come up to me. I serve as the lead pastor here, and they'll be like, hey, what can I do? What can I do to help the church? And by that, they mean like, man, can I set up chairs, or like put up tables, or can I like hand out something, or can I like serve in kids, man? And I'm like, hey, you want to know what you could do? You could tell people about the team captain. That's the best thing you could do. And you know what? I don't even care if they never come here on a Sunday. But if they get to meet the team captain, they're never going to be thirsty again. Now, we do this, we do all this to remind ourselves that we don't have to thirst, because as soon as we go out here, we start thinking we're thirsty again. We're like, man, nobody sees me, everybody hates me, I just need more followers, I just need all that. No, you need Jesus. The Father is seeking such people to worship Him. That's what we need. We need a family who's gonna remind us that we've been seen by God and now gonna give our lives to worshiping Him and making Him known for the rest of our days. That's why we have church. So that we can bring many, many more to say, hey, have you met my team captain? Have you heard what he's done? Do you know that he sees you right where you are? And he's crazy about you. And he wants a personal, life-giving relationship with you. It's our tradition here at the Well. We don't have many. We're a very new church. But we take communion every week because we want to keep our account short with the Lord. So we don't want to go a very long time without being forced to remember why Jesus died for us, why his blood was spilt for us. We want to be faced with that reality week after week after week, that blood had to shed so that we might be saved. And so it's our tradition after the sermon to take communion. We do that freely as you want between you and the Lord. And so that is open to anyone who is here. We do believe the Bible teaches that it is specifically for those that have a relationship with Jesus, to celebrate what he's done for them. But largely that's between you and God. We don't have someone there that's going to like stand and like put a little thermometer on your head and ask if you've like been a Christian or not. That's between you and the Lord. But I would encourage you in this. Would you be honest in this moment to tell Jesus what you've been hiding from him? 8 o'clock this morning, I've got to be honest. Jesus, I'm hiding a lot of anger from you. I'm hiding it from my church family. I got to bring that to God. He already knows it's there. But in this time, as we respond to God through communion and through worship, would you just be honest? Would you say, God, I want to be done hiding. I want to worship you with my life. And if you're here and you don't have that relationship with God, or you've been thirsty your whole life and you've been wanting to be picked on the team, let me just tell you, hey, I think Jesus just showed up at your well today. And he wants a relationship with you. It's been sweet to see people say yes to that in the past few months, to see God saving people. And then saying, man, it's crazy. And bragging on my girl Soleil, man. She can't wait to bring everybody she knows to meet the team captain because she's not thirsty anymore. And if that's you, man, would you just cry out and say, hey, Jesus, I need you. I know that I've been hiding. God, I don't want to hide anymore. So I'm believing today that you, Jesus, died for my sins, were buried in the ground, and you rose from the dead for me, so that the Father might be worshiped in my life. And so, God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray for every person that has come. God, I believe with all my heart that if I could look every single one of them in the eyes and call them by name, I could say, hey, God is seeking you to worship him. And so, Lord, I pray that we would respond to you tonight in obedience, that you'd give us wisdom in what our next yes to King Jesus is. Father, that we would do that now, that we would be even making intentions in our heart of how we're going to follow you this week. And so, Lord, we love you. Would you meet us now as we respond to you in worship?